This episode is brought to you by Hill's Pet Nutrition. Every shelter pet deserves a second chance, and you're making it possible for thousands of them every day. Because when you feed your pet Hill's, you help feed a shelter pet, which helps make them healthy, happy, and more adoptable, changing their life forever. So they can change yours. Over 14 million shelter pets fed and adopted. Science did that. Visit hillspet.com/podcast to learn more.
You ready?
Showtime.
On May 3rd, summer starts with the Fall Guy.
What are you doing later?
Let's drink a spicy margarita.
Make some bad decisions.
Yes!
Audiences are falling in love with the most entertaining film of the year.
Fall Guy.
Fall Guy.
Fall Guy. That's what the poster said.
See Ryan Gosling and Emily Blunt in the movie critics say exists to make you happy.
Trying to make it out?
Nope.
Because I don't either. It's not what I'm into right now.
What are you into?
Talking.
Yeah.
The Fall Guy. Only in theaters May 3rd. Rated PG-13.
On today's episode of the Bolts broadcast, the trouble in Tampa could get spooky. Stay tuned. Season 4, episode 49 of the Bolts broadcast. Mike Mitchelson and Chase Crawshaw with you today. Chase, how are you on this lovely Sunday afternoon?
I do be chilling. It's a nice day outside, so I can see a little sunshine as I'm looking out this window, sitting in this enclosed room recording a podcast, but that's all right, because this stuff's good. It's very enjoyable, but at least I get a little bit of sunshine. Don't have to look out at snow or bleakness today. But yeah, you know, just living life. How about you?
Oh, gorgeous day down here in Indianapolis, 65 degrees. Looking out back, we got the old pond in the backyard. Just came back from Culver's. Me and the roommate got a little concrete mixer. And ooh, oh, so joyous. What a day it is.
Is Culver's outside of the Midwest?
I don't know. That's a good question. That might have to be one that we look up here and let the fans know. But if you don't know what Culver's is, I mean, it's fantastic. Cheese curds, butter burgers. I'm not a big butter burger guy. I don't know about you, Chase, but they got some fantastic tendies, and they brought back the buffalo tendies. They're just perfect. They're actually rivaling Chick-fil-A for me right now. Like,
okay.
They are neck and neck. I love both of them so much.
Pump the brakes. All right. But there's 899 total restaurants in 26 states as of February 2023. It's primarily all in the Midwest. It looks like, let's see, what does this map say? There's 40 to 60 down in Florida. The states that are missing it. Oh, that's what I meant to do. Poop crap. All right. Basically, none of the Northeast has it. Like, none of those, like, really Western states have it. Then there's, like, 1 to 20. Anywhere from the 120 range in states, like Texas, the Dakotas. What is that? That's Oklahoma. So, like you know, those type of states. And on, you know, the Eastern coast, like the Carolinas, Georgia, there's, you know, there's 1 to 20 as well. But when you look in the Midwest, that's where it gets a lot more packed. There's anywhere from 40 to 60 in Michigan. There's 120 to 140 in Wisconsin, you know. So they're definitely way more prominent here in Midwest. But funny enough, Ohio only has 1 to 20 of them.
Oh, weird. Well, no one really likes Ohio. Yeah.
Yeah.
Kind of the stepchild of the Midwest.
Of the United States.
Well, yeah, that's fair too. I mean, well, there's two of them that aren't even connected to the rest of the United States, so I feel like they might be the stepchildren of it. But, you know, Ohio's still terrible.
Those are vacation destinations, though.
Well, one of them's an interesting vacation destination, if you want to call it that.
Well, if you like deep sea fishing and stuff, it's an awesome deep sea fishing spot up there.
Or if you want no sunlight, like, at all in the winter, then that could be a vibe, too.
Then go in the summer where it's only sunlight.
Yeah, but who wants to do that? No one.
Me.
Oh, okay. Weird.
All right, word.
All right, on today's episode of the Bolts broadcast, a little game review, game preview. Things have not been going so hot with Tampa, so we are going to give you a little overview. What does Tampa need to do to clinch playoffs? Because right now, the team has not been performing great. It could get a little bit spooky here down the stretch. We'll give you all of that detail and more after the commercial break. Going to be talking about some news from around the league, including keeping you up to date on the signings from the NCAA. This one might be a little bit shorter. However, if you are a football fan, get ready because we are recording our other show, We're Not Professionals, right after this one, and we are looking at the top eight interior defensive linemen, the top eight D-tackles in this year's upcoming draft. So if you're interested in that, make sure to head over there. You can see our good football content on We're Not Professionals. But, Chase, we mentioned it, Tampa not performing so hot. We're going to do a little game review first and talk about why we are currently on a four-game losing streak. Losing here to Ottawa in our first game, we're looking back on a 7-2 loss. We knew it was going to be high scoring. However, we figured Tampa would be able to kind of keep the same pace. That wasn't the case in this one.
No, it was not. And if you can't tell, by the score, it was just one of those days where, things didn't go right. DeBrincat had himself quite the day, earning first star. We saw Brady Tkachuk also followed up with two goals as well. And really, we just kind of didn't show up to play. We saw Brayden Point, do everything he could at the best, the best that he could. But, he could only do so much. When we look at the rest of the team as a whole, it was just underwhelming, really, just what it comes down to. There was nobody that really stepped up to the plate and had a great day. Brian Elliott had a tough day in net. And, it's just kind of the way things have been going for him all year. He's been kind of struggling. It's a game, you got to kind of shake off, hope that you can kind of keep it rolling or keep the good vibes rolling into the next couple of games, which at least the next game, the good vibes didn't really keep up.
Yeah, and Ottawa, one of these teams that are hoping they can go on a little bit of a run here and try to squeeze their way in. They are a little bit more unrealistic than some of the other teams we'll talk about, but Ottawa definitely at least trying to make that case with a good win here over Tampa, 7-2. You mentioned the next game didn't really go as well either. A 2-1 loss to Boston. Boston, obviously, best team in the league right now. With this win, they clinched the Atlantic. They still have, I think, 10 or maybe only 9. They have 10 games left, and they've already clinched the Atlantic. So it kind of just shows you how dominant they've been. This game, much closer, the boys played better, but just couldn't take down the big bad Bruins.
Yeah, it was a battle from puck drop, really. We had quite the Donnybrook to start the game. It was closer to a line ball as you're going to get, in the modern day NHL. Alone in the first 9 seconds of the game, there was a total of 5 penalties handed out, a couple of fights, a couple roughing penalties. It was just absolute chaos, a little bit of a Donnybrook. It was a ton of fun. You don't get to see that type of passion in hockey much anymore, but sure enough, we got to see it. And I hope we can see a little bit more of that, especially in the playoffs going forward. Let's see some real, nitty-gritty playoff hockey. But following that, it was a very, very tight game. Tampa got outshot again, kind of got outplayed a bit there. Boston comes away with the win because they've just been rolling this year. It's hard to go into a game like this and expect, this is gonna be easy, because we all know it's not gonna be easy. And yet again, Linus Ullmark has a hell of a day. Only lets in one by him, is continuing lowering that goals against average of a sub 2. It's just incredible. They're a hard team to beat. They look borderline unbeatable, but sometimes that's a good thing going into playoffs, because I've mentioned it before. You don't want to be too hot when you're going into playoffs, because eventually your hotness is going to wear off and you're going to start going cold. So hopefully Boston keeps it rolling. By the time playoffs comes around, they start struggling.
Yeah, I mean, the wick always comes to its end, right? So when does Boston's fire finally run out? Will be interesting to see when that happens and if that happens this year. But Andre Vasilevsky, he was the shining star of this one for me when it comes to Tampa, because this was a guy who, just 2 weeks ago, he had a couple back-to-back stinkers sitting in the 850 range for save percentage. He did all he could against Boston in this one. Boston had 7 power play opportunities, only let in 1. So Vassy really starting to get in peak form. You love to see that as we go in towards the end. We just need the rest of the team to really get going as well, because there is still a situation, a possibility, where Tampa doesn't get into the playoffs. So let's talk about that now before we look forward to the Carolina game. We can kind of see if we can get points there against Carolina or not. But what does Tampa need to do from here on out in our final eight games, what do we need to do to clinch that playoff spot?
So really, as long as Florida doesn't win out, like, Tampa's been pretty much in a good spot, and they're not going to win out. Like, that's really what it comes down to. So even if they do, Tampa needs to get 8 points in their next eight games, and that should be very attainable. Even, you know, if not, like, even if they need to get 4-6 again, it's all very attainable. So we're, you know, we're in the driver's seat here. We're sitting in a great spot. You know, the team's outside looking in. Right now, it's kind of stacked in the Metro, and those Atlantic teams are just kind of far behind. Really, Florida's the only one that's got, like, any chance to get in, because you can look at teams like the Sabres. Like, they can't really get in anymore unless it's a wild card spot, and Tampa doesn't have to worry about forfeiting one of their division spots to them. So it just comes down to Florida. They have an extra game. They've got one less game. They've played. Wait, I'm on crack. My bad. They do have an extra game. I'm struggling here. I can't read my freaking standings. They do have an extra game. Tampa's got 8 left, so that leaves a potential 16 points, where Florida's got 9 left, leaves a potential of 18 points. So if they were to win out, they could get up to 97. At that point, Tampa just needs to get, you know, 4 wins there, 8 points to keep them above there. But realistically, they're not going to, so it shouldn't be an issue.
Yeah, and the thing that's a little bit worrisome for Tampa, obviously how they've been playing as of recent, but on the bright side, Florida also not looking so great. They're currently on a 3-game losing streak. They've been dropping down the standings a bit too. So although there is a real possibility that if Tampa continues to play poorly, we get knocked out of the playoffs, Florida still has not been playing at their top performance either. So we should be able to head right into the playoffs as we expected earlier on in the season. Now, hopefully we can get it rolling over these last 8 games, and, you know, you pick up some hot streak as you head into the playoffs, that can be huge. I mean, we saw St. Louis, theirs was a little bit longer of a run. They started in, like, February when they went on their cup run. They started really getting hot in February, March time, and brought it all the way through the playoffs. Boston, they've been doing it all year, but if we can pick up some heat going in, who knows? Maybe we've got a little bit more towards the end than Boston does. So hoping for some good things from Tampa here. We got one game to preview this week, and it's against the Carolina Hurricanes on Tuesday. They currently lead the Metro. What do we expect out of this one?
Yeah, it should be a fun game. Carolina, they've got 3 very strong goaltenders that they can rely on, and it always makes it a bit tough when you're going against a team where they feel comfortable with whoever's healthy, whoever's ready to go. They can throw them right in. And when you look at the talent up front and on the back end, they're just a very, very complete roster. They do a great job of building up their D-men and finding D-men that kind of, you know, for lack of a better term, got passed on from other teams and getting them to overperform, play really well. So it's a very sturdy defensive core that can provide some offense from the back end as well. So that makes things a little bit tricky as well. Having, you know, an Andrei Svechnikov, who's actually out, but Sebastian Aho, Toivo Teravainen, and Marty Nikash, those guys up front. So it's not going to be some, you know, walk in the park, but it's definitely a winnable game. It should be a really entertaining one.
Yeah, our last matchup against them didn't go as planned, a 6-0 loss earlier this month, and then the only other time we faced them, they were able to squeak out the game 4-3. So really hoping that Tampa can get one on the board against Carolina, because Carolina going to be one of those top-end teams going into the playoffs. They're hoping for a lot of success. So if we can see Tampa get a win over the Carolina Hurricanes and get rid of our losing streak as well, that'd be absolutely huge.
Faux shizzle, Mike.
All right, that's going to do it for the first half of the show. Dude, I'm about to do an outro. What is happening right now? This is going to do it for the first half of the show. We're going to say hi to our friends over at DraftKings. And we'll be right back. The biggest tournament in college basketball is underway, and the action is just getting started on the DraftKings Sportsbook, one of America's top-rated sportsbook apps. Right now, new customers can bet just $5 on any pregame moneyline bet and score $150 in bonus bets if your team wins. Plus, combine bets for a shot at an even bigger payout. DraftKings will be featuring parlays and odd boosts all tournament long, so be sure to check out the DraftKings Sportsbook app every day to see what they have in store. Will FAU continue their miracle run, or will the Final Four be their final resting spot? Download the DraftKings Sportsbook app now and sign up with code THPN. Right now, new customers can bet $5 on any pregame moneyline bet and get $150 in bonus bets if your team wins. Only at the DraftKings Sportsbook with code THPN. Minimum age and eligibility restrictions apply. See show notes for details. Shout out to our friends over at DraftKings. Thanks so much for sponsoring the show. Chase, any big bets on, well, tonight or Monday night you got currently in place?
State losing kind of hurt me a little bit. Had you know, decent chunk of that. If only they were better at basketball, they could have kept winning. But instead, they kind of lost me a bit. So just taking a little break, a little pause. I'm going to wait till, you know, the next batch of March Madness games and the next batch of Frozen Four games before I bet a little more.
Yeah, I'd stay away too, because you always just jinx the teams you put money on and lose a lot of money. So I would definitely stay away as well. That's why I've stayed away, because I've lost, I think, like my last six bets. Really just hoping Stetson Bennett comes through for me. If he doesn't, then I'm done betting, I guess. But there was a bit of a dream that I had Friday night into Saturday morning where Stetson Bennett actually went first overall in the NFL draft. And if you follow the NFL draft whatsoever, that is not likely. So the fact that I had that dream, really hoping it's not deja vu.
If he goes first overall, I'll do a backflip live on Twitch or something.
Okay, that'd be cool.
Like I don't know, or I'll do it. I don't need to go on Twitch. I can go on Instagram. I forget the Instagram live exists. I'll just go live on Instagram. I'll figure out how to do a backflip. Might break my neck, but like you guys earned it at that point.
Yeah, just rock it.
Yeah, we'll see what we can do with her.
All right, let's talk about some news from around the league. We start with one that, not big fans of, but unfortunately, a Coyotes minority owner is under some trouble, some duress.
Yep, that he is. Coyotes minority owner Andrew Barraway was arrested for domestic violence recently. He is suspended indefinitely from the league. So what that means is he can't really engage in any business activities, can't attend any games, home or away, whatever it might be for the Coyotes, until, you know, conclusion of an investigation, or until he gets, the suspension lifted. And deservingly so. You have to be a better role model, better example setter for your players and the rest of the NHL.
Makes me question just the Coyotes overall and why Gary Bettman wants to continue to give them life. I mean, we saw them forfeit a draft pick, just last year or the year before, because they were doing some stuff with prospects, bringing them in against, NHL rule. And now, I mean, they've always sucked. They're currently playing an ASU's rank. I got this kind of stuff going on. Like, I don't know. Just why continue to hold on at this point when it just seems Arizona as a whole is just a lost cause when it comes to the NHL?
I 100% agree, man.
All right, NCAA signings. How many do we have so far?
We have, the number is, I don't even know the number, because I was just looking at the EP transactions to do it. So the exact number, I don't know, but we've got double digits. I can tell you that for free.
Cool.
If that work.
Yeah, that works.
Yeah. All right, cool. So I'll kind of, just write off a few. We'll kind of go from, the 23rd. Up till now to the 26th, the last 3-4 days. A couple ones to note. Tyler Clevin signs from the University of North Dakota to Ottawa Senators. He was their first round pick, so not too surprising. Ethan Frisch from UND also signs an American Hockey League deal with the San Jose Barracuda. We're going to pass on. We're going to skip over most of those types of guys, mostly talk about guys with NHL relevance. But I will mention your Michigan State alumni, Mike, just to make you happy. Miroslav Mucha, he signs with Greenville in the East Coast League. And Dylan St. Cyr, their goaltender, he signs with Grand Rapids in the AHL. From there, also Cole Krieger, I believe that's how it's pronounced, another Michigan State boy, signed with the LA Kings, you know, their draft pick back in 2019, I want to say. And from there, we got I do want to message this too. There's been a couple big transfers, and I forgot to mention this up at the top, meant to put it there. But you know, we saw Red Savage is, you know, one guy who transferred to Michigan State, your school, your alma mater, and then one of our guys, Isaac Howard, also going to Michigan State. How'd you feel about that one?
Loved it. You know, being able to see guys, especially the likes of Isaac Howard, first round pick of the Tampa Bay Lightning, to see Michigan State actually pick up some more talented young players is great to see, because we know Michigan, they have been the premier school when it comes to hockey in Michigan, along with Michigan Tech and Western, you know, right up there with them. Michigan State has always kind of been a step below. So to be able to see some really bright young players come into Michigan State is great. And I think it'll just do better for the rivalries between all four of those teams. I mean, even the GLI, to be able to see some of those guys play is going to be awesome.
100%, man. So then finishing off the list, we got Henry Thrun, signed to the San Jose Sharks out of Harvard, one of their draft picks. Parker Ford, a UDFA who you played some games with USA at the U-20 World Juniors and never ended up getting drafted out of it, but signs with the Winnipeg Jets. Someone who's he's got an outside chance to be an NHLer, probably really just like a finish the season type guy, probably playing the AHL next year, maybe even playing the AHL this year. But Sean Farrell, Canadiens draft pick, signs out of Harvard. And then finally, Max Sassone, who was just drafted like an hour before we recorded, signed. He was one of the Hobey Baker finalists from Western Michigan, one of the multiple that they had, one of the multiple multiple free agents that they had available to that were going to leave. So he goes and signs with Vancouver. I got to imagine he plays NHL games to finish out the year. Is he going to be a full-time NHLer? I don't know, but I'd be very shocked he doesn't at least play games.
Yeah, and I think that I saw, I don't know if it was the Sabres account or if it was their AHL account, but I know that they tweeted out a picture of Devin Levi on the ice warming up a little bit. He obviously hasn't gotten any games played yet, but I do believe it was the Sabres account. So that's cool to see him too get signed by the Sabres. I'm curious, Chase, of the guys that we've mentioned, any of them that we expect to see have a role going forward into playoffs, or are these all kind of future assets?
I mean, they're mostly future. The of these signings, the guy I expect to have the most impact would probably be Sean Farrell, and it gets with the Canadiens. So they're not going anywhere. So it's mostly future signings. There might be a couple guys that stick around into playoffs if needed. You know, maybe like if as long as the Kings are in there safely, Cole Krieger, maybe he sticks around. Maybe we see Parker Ford hang out for the Jets as well too. I guess we'll kind of see.
Cool. All right. Well, we will keep you up to date on more NCAA signings if they come. But that's going to do it for the show. We're going to head into a hockey name of the day. Man, you really wanted to give me a name this day, didn't you?
I did.
We're going to go Susanna Kolbenhayer. Kolbenhayer.
Yeah, so Susanna, yeah, you were close enough there, and I don't know what the hell that first pronunciation was of Kolbenhayer, but whatever that was, it was not close. So Susanna Kolbenhayer, she is a former professional women's player from Hungary, actually, played a bunch of international games for Hungary across a couple of different tournaments, played in the, you know, the women's league for Hungary, and currently now she is the president of Hungary's international hockey team. So like, you know, all the women's world championships are like for the women's. And then she also does some men's as well too, but president for all the women's, helps out with the men's too. She was a general manager for quite some time as well. She was even an equipment manager at one point. So she's really just kind of been all over the place in terms of what she's been doing outside of just playing. So prominent name in terms of Hungarian hockey, especially on the women's side.
Love to see that. I just don't know why you needed the silent Z's in her name.
That That's big. That's a big part of, like, you know, like, I don't know exactly what the like origins of like Hungarian language. I'm assuming it's Germanic. And you know, that's a big part of that language.
Yeah, interesting. For those listening that are curious, it's normally spelt Susanna, except there's a Z in front of both S's. So.
Yes, there is. Yes, there is.
All right, that's going to do it for the show. I want to thank you so much for coming out and giving it a listen. Chase, if you could, hit him with an outro.
As always, I want to thank you guys for listening. You should follow us on Twitter at Bolts Broadcast. It's at Bolts Broadcast. You can follow the Hockey Podcast Network on Twitter at HockeyPodNet. That's at HockeyPodNet. While you're at it, go follow WNP on Twitter at WNP Sports Pod. That's WNP Sports Pod. Make sure to go to HockeyPodcastNetwork.com. You can find all the podcasts right there. Boom, click the logo. That's an easy peasy lemon squeezy. Wherever this thing raises 5 stars, so your questions, comments, concerns, we really appreciate it. Whatever you do, there are fits, you go to THPN. It's time for DraftKings.
Man, it must be NASCAR season because he was racing through that one. Thanks so much for stopping by. We'll talk to you next time.